Welcome to Barbershop ENC.
Chavez.
Who?
Chop. I got a couple kids need cut. I need to tighten up myself.
Oh, we got you. Come on in and have a seat, man. Hey, Chop.
What up, fam?
Cuz out here got a few kids he need cut.
Oh, yeah? A few of them?
Yeah. Yo, Chop.
What up?
You know the motto?
Come get your hair right.
First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get a fader, taper it up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
It's just another day at the barbershop. I clean my barber chair, time to get it in with Chop. Turn my clippers on, clients rush the parking lot. Just the south side, number one barbershop. On the regular, we cut them so fresh. DJ Khaled with the clippers, we the best. I'm taking walk-ins, tell me who's next. We take cash, even debit, no check. I see your cuts grown, welcome to Barber Zone. We go hard or go home, the store is in your phone. And now we doing numbers like the pickfold. They asking where you get that cut, that is sick, bro. First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get a fader, taper it up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we...
Welcome, welcome, welcome to In the Barber Zone with your man Chavez Moman. Coming right here from the Barber Zone Barber Studio, 3719 South High Street on the south side of Columbus, Ohio. Welcome everybody to another show.
As we proceed.
Hold on 1 second, trying to get this music right. Sorry about that, y'all. I hit the wrong button. All right, y'all, yeah, we're here on a Tuesday instead of a Monday. Had a lot of things going on yesterday, so we had to schedule the show. But be sure to check us out next week, Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got another live show going on. We'll be talking about retail in the shop. Is it a burden or a benefit? So be sure to check us out. We'll be talking about getting that extra money in the shop other than cutting hair. So, all right, y'all. We got a hot topic today. We all deal with it. I even had to deal with it today. So we talking about bootleggers and how they affect the hair game. I sent out some texts and, you know, some information about the show, and I put bootleggers. And a few individuals hit me back talking about, you know, the ones that come in with the purses and the clothes and the CDs and the DVDs. No, we're not talking about them. We're talking about them brothers and sisters that's at home, in their kitchen, in the bathroom, in the garage, wherever they at, cutting hair, styling hair. You know, where a lot of us started at, but, you know, we did what we had to do. We went to school and got our license. So we're not talking bad about them, but we talking about them. Because if you didn't put in this time to get what we got, don't call yourself a barber stylist unless you had that paperwork that you can hang behind your desk. So, y'all, again, you're on In the Barber Zone with your man Chavez Moman. The number is 347-637-3850. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure you hit us up right here at blogtalkradio.com/barberzone. Become a friend of the show. You get all the updates and everything. So, we got a few people on the line already. I appreciate y'all calling in. We got callers from the 614 right here in Columbus, the 513-318, and the 706. Thank y'all for holding on. We'll get to you in a hot second. The number is 347-637-3850. Press 1 if you want to tap into this topic, talking about bootleggers. All right, y'all, before we get into it, make sure you check out the official BarberZone website, which is barberzone.org. A lot of information on there about the barber industry, what we got going on in the shop, everything. Be sure you check us out. Also, check out barberzoneclothing.com. We've got apparel there for the stylists and the barbers so you can represent your trade in the right way. So we're going to see. Y'all, hold on 1 second. I'm trying to get this earpiece together so I don't have to hold this phone, so bear with me 1 second. You know how that Bluetooth can be sometimes. All right. Well, I'm going to have to work through it here. All right, y'all, for y'all that have never been on the show before, what we do is we just talk about the topics, man. You tap in, say what you got to say. It's the Barber Zone, uncensored. We're going to keep it real and keep it right. So, but before we do any of that, you know, before we start into this topic, into the show, we're going to start it off like you're supposed to start your day in the morning. We're going to take some time to give out a little shout-outs, but it's not the ordinary shout-outs. These are the ones that you give up with your praise and your thank you. A lot of people call them prayers. I just call them shout-outs. It depends on your relationship. So, you know, just take some time to say, Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for allowing us to receive your awesome power, your awesome grace, your awesome mercy that sustains us through the day. Father, we just take the time to say thank you for these skills and these abilities and these talents that you've given us, that we may bless your children as they come in our shops, our salons, that we may not use them for our gain, but we use them for your glorification. So as you guide these hands and these minds and these words that we use daily in our shops, let them be uplifting. And if they may be in a corrective manner, let them be taken as corrective criticism and not as bashing or belittling. So, Father, we go on and we just say thank you that you allow us to do the things that we do. And as you continue to bless the Barber Zone, let us be blessings for somebody else's life. So, Father, we're going to go on with this show. And the things that are said on this show, they may be used for some positive, that somebody that's not licensed and not doing the correct things that they maybe need to do, that they may hear this show and that they may have a change of heart and they may enroll in school or whatever they need to do to be handled the right way in this business and this trade that we love. So as we go on, we say thank you in your son Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. We're going to go into this show. I was actually going to do the retail show tonight. But, you know, I had a conversation with a sister, and then I had an incident in the shop today. So I just decided to change it up and do the show tonight. I'm going to give you a little bit on what happened today. Actually, had a brother come in the shop today. Y'all know everybody comes in and wants to promote and leave flyers for everything. Excuse me. This brother came in. He was leaving some flyers for, he has a graphic business, does business cards, and he came in looking at my business cards and some posters I had on the wall, which, you know, I do all my graphic stuff myself. So he put the cards down, said, I said, I do my work myself, but, you know, why don't you have a seat? You know, he had locks like me, but he had a beard. So, you know, come sit down, man. You know, I can edge you up, whatever, and, you know, we can talk some business. Nah, bro, I'm okay. You know, I do it myself. I said, oh, okay. He said, yeah, I'm a barber. Say, you a barber? Where you work at, bro? He said, nah, I cut at home, bro. I just do it at home. Hit my nerve. Why you say that? Hit the nerve right there. Bro, you're not a barber. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I said, no. If you don't have a license and you haven't gone to school and you haven't sacrificed and done the things that me and my other colleagues have done, you're not a barber. And I take offense to you saying that. So, brother got kind of offended, but hey, I don't care, man. You can't be talking about you and my trade doing the things that I do, but you haven't been to school to get your license and paid your dues. So, you know, that's just a little bit. I just hate when people do that. So what are we going to do? We're going to go to these lines, see who we got on the phone, see who we got holding. Got a caller from the 513. We're going to see who we got in the zone with us this evening. Caller from the 513, welcome to the Barber Zone. Who we got on the line with us this evening?
Hey, you got Regina from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey, Miss Lady. Thank you for calling in the show. How you doing this evening?
I'm fine, and you?
Oh, I'm great. Okay, let everybody know who you are. You already said you're from Cincinnati. Let them know where you do your thing at, your numbers, your contact, and all that. And then let us know what you think about these bootleggers.
Okay, I'm Regina from Cincinnati, Ohio. The name of my salon is Monet Hair Gallery. I've been in the business over 20 years. I've been doing hair since I've been 17. Took it vocational part of high school. My mom had her own salon, so I started working her salon. So, you know, my mother is a licensed barber and cosmetologist, so it was already in my blood. But the topic we want to talk about, you said bootleggers. I went to a vocational cosmetology school, which I took in high school. But I must say, I was a bootlegger before then. I think we all started out being bootleggers.
We all did to some extent, because I did it in college. We didn't have a barbershop. I went to Central State. We didn't have a barbershop there, so I cut hair in college. But when I got back and I learned, better and I learned about barber school and things like that, I jumped to school, did what I had to do. So we're not talking about those of us that did it for a little bit when we didn't know better. We talking about those that know better but don't go to school. I ain't going to no school. I can cut at home. So
that's
the ones we're talking about. Because all of us started our travels in the kitchen, you know, in the bathroom, on our brothers, on our sisters, on, you know. But let's talk about the ones who are still in the kitchen. How do you feel about that?
It's a lot of girls, like a lot of young girls, like in the city of Cincinnati that, you know, I hear do a lot of weave and stuff in their house. I say it don't affect me. It affects the person who getting their hair done. It affects them because their hair is damaged after they, you know, take the weave out. The person don't know what they doing. My clientele that I have is basically loyal to me. They're not going, my clientele is not going to nobody's kitchen, bending over a sink and get their hair done. So it doesn't affect me because I have a different clientele that's not going in somebody else's home. But I have had ladies that come to me and been to somebody that do hair in the kitchen and their hair was damaged. I mean, half of the time they're not even shampooing it. The person has to shampoo it themselves, or they're putting all this glue and stuff in it, don't know how to take it out properly. And the person coming to me for treatments and they want their hair to grow back, or can I fix this? So the people in kitchen are not really educated and really don't know how to take care of the person's hair. So the client is really, like, messing up on their own. They hurt themselves.
So that's what we're talking about. How are these bootleggers, these non-licensed barbers and stylists, affected the game? Not your clients, but you just elaborated on some of them that come in. They don't have the education with the hair, the scalp conditions, the diseases, how to treat those. So, you know, they doing a disservice to us and the clients, because after they mess them up, then we have to squeeze them in between our scheduled clients to fix them up. So,
And I know the person that's going to them, hopefully they don't think they're licensed cosmetologists, but that kind of gives us a bad reputation. If they thinking this person is licensed, I don't know if they know the person's licensed or not, but you have some people that's licensed that's doing hair in their homes too, because they don't want to pay boot for it in the salon, so they say, hey, I set up shop in the house.
That's what we was going, that was the next
so
part we going to talk about.
So they kind of semi-bootleggers too, because they're not in a professional atmosphere.
Hey, that, we going to talk about that too. Hey, Regina, hold on a little bit. We got a couple more callers on the line. The switchboard is blowing up, so we're going to bring some of them on too. She brought a new little point in it. What about the people that do go to school, get their license, but then they say, I don't want to pay booth rent? So, got a caller from the 318. You're in the Barber Zone with Chavez. Who we got on the line with us from the 318?
This old boss man from Shreveport, Louisiana.
What's good? Good, brother, boss man. Thanks for checking in on the show, man. What's going on with you this evening, brother?
Just chilling, man. You know, got your text, you know, and said I'm going to call in and see what you got going on this Barber Zone show. And good topic, man. You know, bootleggers been around for a long time. I was a bootlegger, and one of the old school barbers came on my porch and told me, if I don't go to school, he's going to turn me in. So the same motto we see, I do the barbers now, too, because I got own a barber school. So if I see a bootlegger or hear about a bootlegger, I'm going to your house. I'm going to check you out. Then I'm going to tell you you need to go to school. If you don't, I'm going to tell you I'm going to turn you in. And that's all to it.
Hey, yo, and that's coming from a man, boss man, who really get it in down there. And you brought another thing, bruh. These bootleggers, they and one thing they don't think they can get caught. And
correct.
They don't think there's any ramifications for what they're doing. Because, brother, like, man, they ain't going to cut. What they going to do to me? They can't do nothing to me.
Yeah, that's why you got to you gotta prove it to them. You got to turn them in. I'll turn them in.
Yeah.
You know.
And one of our inspectors, you know, one of our barber inspectors came in, and actually when I was opening my new shop, I had the paper on the windows. The shop wasn't officially open, but I still had to make some money. So, you know, for that little bit of time, I had clients coming in the back door or whatever. And when I called the board to get my shop inspected, you know, he came in and he said, Shavir, I know you've been cutting hair, but, you know, you're a good guy. I knew what you was doing, but I knew you was cutting hair. Get out of here. I said, how'd you know? He said, cuz when I see people walking to their cars and they brushing their shoulders off and things like that, I know they just got a haircut. And he said, these people that's cutting out of their houses and they think I don't know, he said, all I do is sit at the end of the block when I hear that somebody's cutting out of their house, and I see where the people are coming out brushing their shoulders and hair off their clothes. So, bootleggers, they know y'all doing it. It's just a second before you get caught. So, boss man, appreciate you stopping in. Hold on, we got some more callers calling in. We're going to bring them on the line. Y'all in the barber zone with your man, Chavez Moment, right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-637-3850. If you call in, please press 1. Let me know that you got something to say. You'd like to tap in on this topic we got tonight. Bootleggers. And we're not talking about prohibition. We're talking about these individuals, these unlicensed barbers and stylists who's at home cutting hair. So let's see what we got to call it from the 910. Checking in the barbers on the night. Who we got on the line with us from the 910?
Hey, this is Mo, calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
What's going on, Mo? Hey, y'all, the sister I had to talk with about this topic right here. So, Mo, let the people know what you're doing, man, where you at, what shop you at, and, you know, tap in a little bit on this topic we were talking about a little bit ago.
Okay, I'm in Dunn, North Carolina, which is about 30 minutes outside of Fayetteville. I've been cutting hair for about 12 years. And I am against bootleggers. Not the ones, you know, how we started out, you know, because we had to start somewhere. But the ones that are in the house, on the porch, under the shade tree. So I started a campaign with shirts, you know, pushing, you know, they know the bootleggers. I am a licensed professional. So when you see me, you know I'm a licensed professional. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean... It's bad around these parts. It's real bad. You know,
y'all that's on the line. Well, we got these bootleggers out here. We got my man Boss Man on here that owns a barber school. Now, why do you think that these individuals don't take the initiative to go to school and get their license and become part of this trade that we know we love, that feeds our family, that sustains our lives? Why do y'all think it is that they don't go ahead and finish that part?
Me personally, I've heard that they say they think it's hard and it's expensive. And when I started, you had to pay out of pocket, but now you can go to a community college and get a grant and go to school.
See, because me... When I went to school, I couldn't get financial aid. I had to, you know, I had to work and you know, barber school took me a little bit longer than it was supposed to because I had to work. I'd leave and work to go get the money to get back in barber school. So when people say it's too expensive, that's like a cop-out to me. You're really not trying to put your best foot forward. So.
Well, I know in Cincinnati, Ohio, is only one barber school, and the man pretty much got it on lock. I think it's a guy trying to open up one now, but I think in order for you to be a barber instructor, you have to teach at a school, and I don't think you let anybody do that. And the waiting list for this one barber school in Cincinnati, Ohio, is like 6 months, and people, you know, a lot of people want to go, but they can't get in. Or they have to wait, and they just anxious to get in and maybe start cutting at home or, you know, in a kitchen because there's only one school in Cincinnati.
There's only one school down there. And, you know, I've heard that, and I've heard that also. There's only one school in Cincinnati, and she is correct to Bossman. I don't know how it is down there, but in Ohio, to have a barber school, you have to have, of course, licensed instructors. But the way the barber schools are set up right now, they're not producing any instructors. So that way, like you say, they've got it on lock to where a brother like me, who's approached them a few times, I want to get my instructor's license. But they already know what's going to happen after I get my instructor's license. The day after I get my instructor's license, I'm looking to open a school.
Right.
They really don't want that. They want the, and what I'm finding out, they want the money, but not the, you know, the produce the good barbers. So that's a whole nother ball of wax. So the bootleggers, how do we get rid of them, y'all? That's another question. How do we get rid of the bootleggers?
I never thought about telling on them until I heard Boss Man say something about telling on them. Like, I had never thought about that.
We gotta tell on them.
You can't tell on them. And what you need to do, you need to contact your barber board in your area, your barber instructor, and please have the information needed to submit this, to turn them in. Don't just say somebody's on Main Street cutting, have an address, have a building, if you got some names. Have some names, because if you're really trying to get it stocked, you got to have all the information. So we're going to see. All right, y'all. We got a few more callers on the line. I appreciate everybody that's on there. I got some callers from the 443-917-330-713. I'm feeling like ludicrous right now, yelling out all the area codes, but we got people on the line that's in the barber zone that want to talk about this topic we got. Bootleggers and how they affect the game. Calling from the 443, like we got my man Benny the Barber on the line. Benny, let us know what you think about these bootleggers, bro.
Well, when you talk about bootleggers, in full disclosure, I first started out, and you know I've been doing this for 20 years. When I first started out, I was 20 years professionally. All right. When I first started out, my pop, and he was a barber. He built a barber shop for me in my basement. Now I'm leaving school to cut hair in my basement after school to make extra money. So, you know, if you want to call that a bootlegger, okay, call it a bootlegger. I was doing what I had to do. You know what I mean?
You was leaving what school? You was leaving barber school or you was leaving regular school?
I was leaving high school. I was leaving high school, bro. And I was actually down there, and I had, you know how on a Saturday, the shop packed, everybody in there, and the conversation is off the chain, and you talk about everything, anything. Yeah, that was my Saturday, bro. That was my every day of the week.
Okay. So here's the question. So, Ben, here's the question for you. Being a brother that started out like that, and we all started it. I mean, we can't knock the bootleggers that's doing it because they don't know better. We said this earlier, that because they don't know better. But once you know better, you got to do better. So what made you leave your basement and go to barber school to become a licensed professional?
It was all a part of the plan, though. It was a part of the plan because, actually, the high school that I went to, they had barbering as a part of the trade.
Vocational trade school type thing.
Right. So I was taking a trade, even though I was still, before I got into the trade school, I was also cut. So either way, I was still going to be cut. But I was taking a trade, and something happened where I couldn't go to that school anymore, and we're going to leave it at that. And
okay.
I had to do what I had to do. I was used to cutting. I had already built a clientele. I had a nice clientele at a young age. You know,
yeah.
So what was I going to tell them? Oh, man, I ain't in school. I ain't going to be able to get my license. So, no. No. You know what I did? I cut. I saved my money. I tried. I went from cutting in the basement to doing an apprenticeship. Apprenticeship didn't fully work out the way that I needed it to. Okay? So, and I know I'm wrong for this, but I'm gonna be 100% honest with you.
But,
all right?
But you was taking steps to become a barber, though.
Right. You're right. I mean, I always had it. It was always designed for me to be there. It was always designed for me to be where I am. And I understand when you say you paid for school out of pocket, because I paid for school at the time. School was $6,500.
Yeah.
When I finally went down to the school to enroll in school. I actually went down to the school with $1,500 cash in my pocket, ready to do what was needed to be done. All right?
Yeah.
Well, do you want financial aid? No, I'm going to pay for this whole thing out of my pocket. Guess how I paid for school? Cutting hair.
Oh, yeah.
I was still cutting, but I paid for it all out of my pocket. It took me a minute to pay it, but I paid for it out of my pocket. Right. So,
but you did it.
I understand when you say, well, you know, I really don't take the excuses. You know what? I don't take the excuses either, because if you want it bad enough, you can go and get it.
You're going to go do it.
Yeah, I did. Why can't you?
Why can't you? Hey, Benny, that's a great point right there. I did it. Why can't you do it? It's called sacrifice. Me and Mo was talking earlier. If you didn't put in that time in school and that sacrifice, you can't call yourself a barber. You can't call yourself a stylist like we do. You can't call yourself a hair professional. Stop it. So, y'all in the barber zone with your man, Chavez. Mama, we got a few more callers on the line. We're going to keep it moving. I got callers from the 917, the 330-713. Got a caller checking in from the 614. I see y'all, 215. I see y'all. We can get to y'all here in a second. The number is 347-637-3850. Press 1 if you want to tap into this topic we got this evening. Bootleggers and how are they affecting the game. We got a caller from the 917 checking in the barber zone. Who we got on the line with us from the 917?
Hey, this is Rosa from Rosa's Resources. How are you?
We doing wonderful. Doing wonderful this evening. How you doing, Rosa?
Wonderful. I'm loving your program. I also have a blog radio program where I talk about the, you know, same issues. And one thing I want to say is that you also have some bootleggers that own salons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that really troubles me.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is they don't plan to get their license. So those are the bootleggers that I have problems with.
So where are you at? Rose, what city are you at?
You got to be in New York.
From New York. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. No,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I see the 917 right now. And you know what? That's a problem that we were having here in Ohio.
Yes.
The non-licensed barber or stylist opening the barbershop, and we know, you know, without going into it, when that happens, what's really going on in the shop.
No, hold up, Chavez. Hold up, Travis. That ain't what she's talking about. She's talking about barbers that are opening up barbershops that aren't even licensed.
Yeah.
Not unlicensed owners. She's talking about unlicensed shops.
No, the shops have a license. But the shop owner don't have a license to practice.
And see now in Ohio, and I was in Mr. Warner's office, who is the director of our barber board and was also the director of the National Barber Board.
Right.
They implemented something now that, because what was found out is you had a lot of individuals that was using barbershops as front.
Yes.
And y'all know how that goes. So now in the state of Ohio, if you're not a licensed barber, you can't open a barbershop without having an extensive background check.
Wow.
Not just the one for your county or your city or your state. I'm talking about the big boy federally one, the one all across the United States. I was in the office when a guy applied for, this is how I found out, a guy was applying for a shop license. He wasn't a barber, and he had a shady record. And I sat there as Mr. Warner went through his record and called that guy and said, no, we can't let you open the barbershop for X amount of reasons. And I was stunned because I didn't even know that happened. But I sit there and watch this man tell him, no, you can't have a barber's license. You can't open a barbershop because you don't meet our requirements.
Right.
So,
I have a question. I would like to know from some of the stylists out there too. For the salon owners that don't have license, how could they hire boot rentals or percentage wages and expect those people to look up to them and respect them?
That's a totally different situation because you have a lot of salon or barbershop owners that are excellent business minded people. They know how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you don't have a license doesn't mean you can't operate and own a barbershop. You just have to have in line a qualified manager of your shop. Now, if you don't have a qualified manager at your shop, you come into a whole bunch of problems. I've actually done a show, and I'm gonna do one here later on in the year that we ask the question: do non-barbers or non-licensed stylists make good shop owners?
Well, I'm just saying the particular salon owner don't have a manager. The ones I've seen, they're the salon owner. They're actually doing hair, and they don't have a license. But they expect to tell people what to do and implement stuff. But why would I listen to you if you're not, trying to better yourself?
Yeah, now that case right there, being from Ohio, I don't run into that, but that's a great one. If you don't have a license yourself and you own the shop and run the shop, you're not a good example for the barbers or stylists that's in your shop.
I'm talking about.
It's hard to motivate them, keep them trained, keep them in line because you're actually not in, per se, in the industry. You don't go through the things. All you do is pay all the bills.
Right, so and everybody else have their license up. And you don't have a license, I don't get it. I just don't understand.
Me myself, I couldn't work in a shop like that where
no respectable barber should. Honestly,
not at all.
They board must don't visit. They shop a lot there.
Oh, they don't visit at all.
We talking about New York now. We talking about New York. I didn't been to
they
New York a gang of time, and I see some barbershops, and no way on God green earth is this a licensed barbershop.
No, they don't have They don't even have a price on some of them. Everybody could open a shop here. Anybody.
Anybody. And New York is so dense.
Exactly.
There's no way for a governing body, which is usually 5 or 6 individuals for a whole state, that they control.
That's
that.
Right. When I
so
called
York,
state board, that's what
New
they
York
told me.
New York is a special baby. Just like with a lot of things, New York has special cases. So it's kind of crazy, you know. But the answer is really, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, is it like how it is in Atlanta? Because, you know, Atlanta, you don't have to be a license. You have to be licensed to do chemical service. But, you know, you can work in a salon in Atlanta and not be licensed and do shampoos or sets, but you can't do chemical service.
But you can't
you
go do chemicals.
Under
yeah,
somebody
now that's different. Now, that's different. That's like here in Ohio, you can braid hair, and as long as you don't use any chemicals or anything, you can be in a shop braiding hair.
Yeah, that's
so,
how
here
that
in North Carolina, you have to have a license to even braid hair now.
No, in Ohio, you don't have to have one.
Yeah, you got to have one here now.
I think so. If I want a braider to come in, is she licensed under our barber or is she licensed under cosmetology? He told me there's no real licensing agent for braiding, but that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, I was about to say they made him do it here in North Carolina back in like last year in July.
Yeah,
I'm from Cincinnati, I didn't know that.
We got a few more callers on the line that have been holding for a while, so we're going to keep it moving. Y'all make some great points. Y'all are listening in the Barber Zone with your man, Shazam's Moment, right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-637-3850. We got a caller calling in from the 713. Then we're going to get to the 330. We got a caller from the 813. So let's go with on the 713. They've been holding on for a minute. Who we got in the Barber Zone with us tonight from the 713?
What's up, Shabazz?
What's good? Hello? What's going on? Who's this online?
This Don, man. I'm from Houston, man.
What's going on, good brother? Appreciate you taking the time to check in with the Barber Zone tonight, man. Let the people know who you are, bro, where you cutting at, and then let us know your opinion on these bootlegs and how they're affecting the game.
I'm going to give a different twist to it, bro. I'm not even much. I'm not a barber or a stylist. I'm a beauty supply owner.
Okay.
And this is my take on it, man. Big ups, boss man. Thanks, boss man, for giving me this this six man to call in. But down here in Houston, they having a problem with the stylists. They letting these Korean-owned beauty supplies and letting people do hair in their shops unlicensed in the beauty supply. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel that that's...
Hold on. So, the Chinese people are in there selling hair products and also got bootleg people on their premises doing hair. Is that what you're saying?
They got girls and they're putting their lace front, sewing in hair, doing hair. Uh-huh. I respect the game like this, bro. If it weren't for y'all, I wouldn't eat. If it weren't for the barbers and stylists, I wouldn't eat. So I don't feel that that's fair to y'all. So what I feel how y'all will resolve this matter, go to y'all state board. Tell the state board, y'all ain't got to pay us, man. Let us go around here and turn these people in. You find them enough and make them pay them chickens. Just stop doing that bootleg, bro. I promise you.
Man.
But they tried that in both.
But you really just shocked me by saying that the Chinese people got people in there doing
They tried that in Baltimore. They in the back. They got a shut off room in the back where it's a doorway and it says employees only. And what they do, they allow them to take appointments on. So they come in through the back. They come in through the front door and walk straight to the back. And they got the dryers and the tables and all the stations in the back. It's not a licensed shop.
But check this out. They call brother with it in Houston, man. It ain't even much no back room. They let them do it in the middle of the floor, bro. In the middle of the store.
Wow.
In the middle of the store.
Have y'all called? Let's know what's going on.
Houston, right? But you know what? I was looking up the regulations for Texas because I was planning to come down that way. And down that way, they allow them to, I can't quote it verbatim, but they allow them, if they're not licensed, they allow them to do certain things as long as it doesn't have anything to do with chemicals. They have, the way that they're structured, they have certain licenses. As long as they have a business license, they can open up shop. As long as if it has some restrictions, but not many, not the restrictions that we would have if we didn't have a license at all. You understand what I'm saying? It allows to do certain things, and that shocked me when I saw it. And I'm like, wow, for real, like.
So they can. So what you're saying is they can do limited services. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
They can do
right.
limited
they can't
type
do
of services.
Color services. They can't do color.
They can
services.
Do limited services, but they do what they want, man. They can do limited services, but they do.
Yeah, we all know that they may supposed to just do limited stuff, but they do a full range.
Mm-hmm.
So that
right.
Bro, y'all shocking me.
Right. And Florida's the same way though. Florida's the same way. Florida has a limited license, and then it has the actual barber license, and then it has something else where you can come in and you can do certain services. But you can't have one of the licenses doesn't allow you to do chemical service.
So really, that's like. Legal bootlegging, kinda sorta. You don't have a full license, so you can do some of the stuff.
Yeah, you can
you
do some of the stuff, but not all.
You just
stuff.
Can't do everything.
Right, right.
So,
I can eat. I can fix me a whole plate, but I can't eat all of it.
Oh. That's really killing the game. But hey, I'm sorry to hear that down there in Texas, bro. That's crazy. So,
but,
hey, bro, sound like you need to get somebody doing some hair in your beauty supply. Shoot, if the Chinese folks won't do it, you might as well go get it and do it yourself.
Well, it's the killer part, man. If I do that, my people gonna stop breaking bread with me. They gonna, the style is gonna say, well, that's not fair. That's not right.
I'm really just messing with you, but yeah, I that's crazy that they're doing hair in the middle of a beauty supply spot.
So what I'm trying to explain to people, that's why I got a barber challenge coming up April the 1st. I'm not trying to promote my show on your air, but I want to explain to the barbers. I want to explain to the brothers. I want the brothers to explain, man. If they're doing this to the hairstylist, it's only a matter of time. They down here right now cutting hair for $3.99 in these nail shops, man. It's only a matter of time before they go after the barber. So that's why I'm trying to explain
this
to you,
bro. They
cutting hair for $3.99, man. $3.99 in these
like a
nail shops.
What kind of cut?
Yeah. Haircuts, ma'am. Haircuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
if you haven't used it, just look me up. I can point you in the direction where all of them is at, man. It's tons of them in Houston, man. But what it is, people out here don't support their craft. They don't respect their craft. If they support and respect their craft, we wouldn't have this problem nationwide. You feel what I'm saying? If a hair show
comes, I have a question.
I'm listening.
Is the other stylist in Houston still shopping at the Korean shop? Where
exactly.
The stylist
they tear their doors down, man. They tear their doors down.
I'm talking about other stylists. Do they buy products or stuff and hair out of their store, even though they got people
that
are doing hair?
That's the thing right there. If they doing that. In the beauty supply store, and the stylists are going in there and buying their hair and supporting them. How does that look? I mean, I'm
yeah, that's
like
why? Them giving a,
I wouldn't
like them
I,
giving
I wouldn't
them
go
play.
Somewhere. I wouldn't go somewhere and buy barber products if they had a bootleg barber.
I know, but he was complaining saying that if he did it, stylists would stop coming. and not maybe stop shopping at his store, but they probably still going to these Korean stores even though they're seeing them people. They don't care.
They do. That's crazy.
Hey, that's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, hold on. We got a couple more callers. We're going to pull them on the line. Bruh, you just split my wig with that one. That's crazy. We got a caller. Caller from the 330 right here in Ohio. Caller, you're in the bar show, man. What's this? Keelan, tap into this subject, bruh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But that is crazy what they were just talking about, man. That's the craziest bootlegging ever right there. But... bootlegging is definitely an issue in Youngstown. You know, we a small city, so, I mean, we got a few barbershops. Bootleggers are crazy around here. Like he was saying, they cutting for so cheap that it's kind of hard to, you know, maintain business, especially if you got a busy shop and people ain't coming, you know, they can't get to you, then they like, man, this bootleg over here, I took my son there for $4, you know what I mean? That's...
$3.99
for haircuts. $4, getting designs and everything. Like the same stuff I do in the shop. People getting them, you know, between $5, $10. You know, that's crazy. Like when I was in the
where my shop is, I'm right next to Fiesta, Supercut, all them little things, and they, you know, they want to throw the $8 haircuts up and the $7 haircuts,
right.
But $3.99?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
$4.
Now let me ask y'all this. How do y'all feel after you find out one of your customers has gone to a bootlegger and they come back to you with the ringworm or razor bump, some type of irritation with their hair or their face? How does that make you feel?
That's you get your ass in the house, not doing that. That's what you do. Bust them over the head. They want to go to the bootleggers, bust them over the head.
Exactly. That's why I tell you, you get what you pay for.
What I'm going to talk about you, I'm going to talk about you for going there. Then I'm going to tax you like crazy. And I'm going to sell you all the products that you need, because if you got the scars and you got the bump, I got the kitty, I got stuff for you. I'm going to sell you all of that. So now you know you're not going to go back the next time. I'm going to make you feel so bad in the shop, in front of everybody, that you did that you got to want to go back.
Yeah,
and
I'm going
to go back to them. No more.
I'm going to talk bad about you, Anna. And I'm gonna wonder why I got four of the barbers in my shop. If I couldn't get to you, one of them could have. You know what I mean? If you're gonna go to a bootlegger, go to the cat in my shop.
If they go to the bootlegger and they want you to come patch up with the bootlegger, charge them a drug to them, that's when you go get in their pocket. You pay the bootlegger, and then you're gonna pay me the right away because I'm the professional. That's how you have to do it.
Yes.
I see one of the other ways I get rid of.
Oh yeah, we got about 10 minutes left on the show. Appreciating everybody that's calling in. We're gonna keep it moving. We got callers from the 813 and the 614. So we got 10 minutes left. That's just the scheduled 10 minutes. But you know, we're gonna go overtime like we do sometimes, and we're gonna keep on talking about this topic. Y'all in the Barber Zone with your man Chavez Moment right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number 347-637-3850. Press 1 to let me know that you got something to say about this topic. Y'all, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Check out the official Barber Zone website, which is barberzone.org. If you need your barber apparel, we got it for the ladies and the stylists at barberzoneclothing.com. Be sure you check that out. But we got a caller calling from the 813. Been holding on for a minute. Caller, welcome to the Barber Zone. Who we got on the line with us from the 813?
Man, you know this lady Barbernette, and when you see my number, I'm going to need to get right through, okay? I'm not with this whole stuff, Chavez. What's going on, everybody?
I'm sorry, baby.
Hey, y'all is going ham on the bootleggers. I had to call, and well, I was listening at first, but I was like, okay, I got to get in on this. Now,
hey,
I heard my boy talk about Florida.
I saw you clicking in and out. So, hey, I appreciate that too. I just saw that too, man. I appreciate that. So,
no problem.
Girl, tap into it.
Listen, Listen, now, y'all want to talk about a state that's got some crazy laws? I know my boy tapped in a little bit earlier. I went ahead while I was listening. I did look up on our professional regulation for the Florida Barbers Board. We have the barber assistant, a barber, a restricted barber, and then we have the barbershop owner. So those are four licenses that you can get. The shop that we work
say
in.
Say them again.
It's a barber assistant. It's the BA, which is a barber's assistant, and that's the person who basically is confined to solely shampooing hair and applying hair tonics and conditioner. That's it. That's a license. The barber license is, y'all know, it is basically across the board, even all around. You have a BR, which is a restricted barber, which is a person who practices a restricted to the terms of conditioning, cutting, shaving, shampoo, blow dry, and applying hair tonics and hair sprays. They cannot use the razor. And then you have a barbershop owner, meaning, you know, you're not licensed to cut or do any hair. You basically are just a shop owner. Now, the crazy thing is that to recertify every 2 years, the barber and the restricted barber pay the same license fees. So.
Okay.
The barber's getting more money than you, but at the same time, you kind of bootlegging because a lot of people take that way out of a restricted barber because you only have to complete maybe 600 hours versus 12, but you're not able to use the razor. That if the state board walks in and catches a restricted barber using a razor, you will be fine, but come on, how often does that happen?
Wow. So, wait a minute, Matt. Hold on. So...
I knew I read that.
Y'all got four levels of barbering.
Yep.
So
now,
like
the barber
said,
assistant.
A barber can take out the cheap way and become a restricted barber or a barber assistant and really get it in.
Right. Now, the barber assistant, it's and it says right here, the barber's board no longer issues new barber assistant licenses, but those previously issued are renewed. Now, to renew a barber's assistant license is $25.
$25.
And we paying $255. You know, it's kind of like they saying they're not getting no money, and we're going to treat them as such, but yet they really got a license up there to show the people, because if you think about it, your clients, how many of your clients really inspect your license to say, are you a restricted barber?
License.
Exactly.
So, but wait a minute. So for $25, you can bootleg.
You can be a barber's assistant. Now, not
barber
no more.
Assistant.
Like like I just read to you, those licenses are no longer being issued anymore, but there's probably hundreds and thousands of them out here already. So they've eliminated that. Because of the restricted barber has been, you know, so popular now. So you can be a restricted barber. Instead of going to school for 1,200 hours, you go to for 600. Bam, you're in the shop where everybody else taking walk-ins, using the razor. The only thing you got to worry about is if somebody pulled through. And now, mind you, everybody in my shop outside of me and one more dude, and it's nine of us, are cosmetologists. Which in Florida, cosmetologists are not allowed to use the razor either. That's the only difference between a barber and a cosmetologist outside of the actual licensing, you know, because we have to do a barber exam when you get licensed.
Here in Ohio.
Yeah, see, cosmetologists don't have to do that. So they take the easy way out. So every barber that y'all know on Facebook, because outside of me and this other guy, and y'all probably don't even know this cat, are the only barbers, official barbers in our barbershop.
So
this other cat that are official barbers are not in the shop and the state board walks in and it's just cosmetologists working, he's going to get a $500 fine.
Because
it's officially a barber shop. It's not a unisex salon. It's only a barber shop.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You did just say that. Wait a minute. So if only if y'all only have one shop license, y'all don't have a cosmetology license up there.
Right.
If you have
a barber shop, I could be a shop owner with no license, but I have to have and that's where the unisex came from. If you look at a lot of shops, they're unisex because you can have a certified cosmetologist and a barber there to up your chances in, you know, being okay as far as the state we're walking in. But that's where the default comes in, because if there's no barber certified, if you don't have a barber in your shop and you call yourself having a barber shop, you're the owner, you're collecting money, but that's on the business end. So if there's no barber working in there, $500. It happens all the time in Florida. They strict with it, but it happens so rare. You know what I mean? It's worth the cost. You got nine barbers, $200 a week.
That's working, not having a license displayed in there, right?
That is so crazy. Oh man. Hey, Miss Lady Barbernet. Hold on, I'm gonna get my peoples on here. Her name is Natalie also, but she up here in Columbus. This is the hairstylist, the hair diva Nat.
So, okay.
Nat Holland, welcome to the show. Welcome to the barbershop. Natalie.
Good evening. I was on mute, but I was on speaker.
Okay. Well, so now we have Nat the barber and Nat the stylist on the phone. So.
Hey.
It's not too many times that y'all can blow my wig back on what's going on in the barber game, but what they got going on down there in Texas. And then that is what you just told me about Florida. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, that is crazy. So we got a lot of barbers out here, especially from that Florida era, that might not, they not, and I'm not using this term, but big shout out to Nori them. They not major league barbers. They minor league barbers.
They minor league cosmetologists.
Y'all not in the major league. Y'all in the developmental league. Y'all not
in the D league.
But again, and it goes.
Wow.
It goes along with everything else. As far as our profession is concerned, anybody that knows me knows that I'm very passionate about getting us barbers and stylists recognized for our craft. As far as the Hollywood industry. You know, everything is overlooked. When dudes or females are on the red carpet, they want to know what they got on, and they want to know what labels they got under their shirt, which doesn't make a difference because we want to know who does your hair and who is your barber. You know, those are the things that are important, and that's it just goes along with that as far as pointing stuff out. If they don't know. If you got a barber that's cutting your hair and his license says he's a cosmetologist, then he needs to be treated as such. People are taking easy way out, bootlegging, and it doesn't matter because nobody's mentioning it.
It's not beneficial to our trade. Hey,
exactly, and people need to start being embarrassed.
We got a minute left. Hold on one second. We're about to kick into overtime, y'all. We got like 30 seconds left on the regular clock on the show, but got everybody on the line. I got a call here on the 708. We're going to get you in. So, y'all in the zone with your man, Chavez Moment. We about to go in the overtime. The hour's over for the show, but we're going to keep it moving. And we talking about these bootleggers. We got people on here dropping some real knowledge on this game, y'all. Y'all better listen. But we got a caller from the 708. Calling in, checking into the show. Who we got on the line with us checking in at the last minute from the 708?
Yeah, I just caught y'all. This is Nieves Elmeriz from howtofadehair.com checking in right here.
What's up, good brother? What's going on, man? Hey, thanks for checking in on the show, man. Hey, it's beautiful, man. It's good to talk to you. I ain't talked to you in a while. But let us know, man. How to fade hair. How do you feel about the movement that we got in this game, man? Speak to it a little bit.
You said how I feel about the bootleggers out there?
Yeah, them bootleggers, them non-licensed having, them non-licensed in the kitchen cutting individuals. How do you feel? feel about that, man, and how it affects
the game. Well, I mean, I'm sure everybody kind of feels the same way as far as unlicensed people doing everything, and they do it out there cheaper. They're not professional about it, and they definitely ain't taught as far as, you know, to be sanitary. That's for sure. You know, they can scar somebody. You know, give them ringworm or something. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know anything about keeping anything clean. You know, I mean, it's something bad out there. I mean, you know, even if you might know somebody that is out there cutting in their house, ain't licensed or anything, you know, if you bump into them, all you can really do is encourage them to go on out there and get things done right, you know, show them the way, you know, tell them, hey, there's a barber school out here. This school offers financial aid, you know, if you can't afford it, you can go part-time, full-time. You know, I mean, we still kind of guide them to the right path. Some of them might not even know, you know, so on that note, I think it's a bad thing, bootleggers, but I mean, at the same time, we were all there once, you know, trying to learn and get things done. And
he said that earlier. We all were there at one time, but like you said, once you know better, you got to do better. So, I mean, you made a good point. If they don't know, you know, that's one thing. But once you know, and you know, but nowadays, unless you like, you know, you're from a real small city where there's not a barbershop, where you don't have anybody in your neighborhood that's a barber. Excuse me. You know what's going on. You're just trying to.
Hey, Shabazz, you know what? Even
you're
if you're from a small city or small town, you still know, because the internet is you can Google anything you want to Google.
Well, yeah.
That's not even an excuse either. That's not even an excuse either. I mean, for real, these days, everything you want to do is at your fingertips.
I disagree with that a little bit because, you know, initially, and everybody knows financially as far as school, they might not be able to qualify for some things. I mean, all the resources weren't available or that are available now were available, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. So everybody has their own time and doing things financially. And as far as time frame, you know, some people got to work all day. Maybe they're supporting their family. You know, we don't know everybody's story. But what we have to do, I feel, and I agree with the young guy that just said, you know, we have to motivate people. You know, embarrassing people in a nice, nasty way is what I do. You know, you kind of, you know, I do it on Facebook all the time. You know, when I see people with the background of somebody's house and, you know, you see the little DVDs and little kids running around with a diaper, you know, that's a nice cut, but it's not a professional cut because you're not
the picture
professional.
In the toilet. The,
yeah.
The
y'all know
the
thing.
In the bathroom with the
y'all
toilet
know.
Seat up and
exactly.
The shower curtain.
And the shower curtain is the backdrop. Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Hold up.
I comment on it.
I know y'all seen the video of the YouTube clip of the worst cut in the world, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
You said what's he called me?
The worst fade. I've seen the video clip on how to do a fade. It was the worst fade I ever seen. It made me sick to my stomach to watch.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
There is a barber right now.
It got 300-some thousand hits.
It's up to us as the professionals to shut it down. All Facebook is number one. There's so many barbers out here. If y'all recognize these pictures that y'all are commenting on, they're all, you know, again, we talk about the same backdrops here, the shower curtain and stuff. I seen a guy the other day comment on a picture, and I'm not going to put anybody's name out, but he commented on the picture, and he told this barber, you need to go ahead and get that paper. And, man, I wonder if it was on Twitter, I would have retweeted it maybe 18 times, but it was on Facebook. But
yeah,
I love that. He said, you need to go ahead and get that paper, though. You know, like putting them on blast. So
that's
what we have to do.
And, see, I did that. I had one guy. One guy I went to high school with, a very talented. And I talked to him in his inbox. I thought I was talking nice to him in his inbox,
But dude, a bootlegger and been talking junk about me behind my back. Dude, I got a license, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What you're very talented in what you do. I'm giving you props. I want you to go to school.
You might even get deleted.
I think that's what I'm going to start doing.
If you're not a licensed professional, you know, I might even put that in my profile for a while. Let it sit there so people can see. And once they see that we're no longer friends, you know, it ain't no question about it. But we have to take a stand as professionals. And that's the only way people are going to get embarrassed. And they're going to, you know, not saying that we have to embarrass them, but, you know, you have to do stuff like that if you want the respect of your profession, because we're the exact on the same level as a physician. We have the capability of making the same amount of money. The only thing is that we have to keep our own books. At the end of the day, this is a professional business, and you better treat it as such, or you're getting canned and deleted.
It's a professional trade, professional business, which
exactly don't let your clients treat you as a bootlegger. Once your client
crazy consequences. If done wrong, if these brothers is out here using these razors and they cut somebody and then don't know how to properly treat that,
right?
That's a whole new problem. Unsanitary clippers and you pass them along the bumps or the ringworm, or you know, you don't know what you got in your house, in your kitchen, in your dorm room, because you haven't gone to school, you haven't been educated to look for those type of things. You don't know what's going on with this industry. Mm-hmm. See the brother with the fragrance in his scalp. You don't know what that's coming from or what that may cause if you continue to cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the thing that I'm worried about is the lack of education, the lack of sanitation, the lack of professionalism. Because, you know, we do have these individuals that's out here on YouTube putting videos out and everything. I was even talking to a brother, giving some brothers some encouragement one time. This was a couple of years ago, and I'm talking to this brother and found out he wasn't even a barber officially, because I said some things to him, and he was lost. So I'm like, bro, what did you just say to me? So I had him, so bro, how long you done had your license? Well, I don't have no license. I had to, like you say, politely, ignorantly, give him the business and told him, bruh, when you get in barber school, you don't have to be done, but once you take the step to get in barber school, holler back at me. I got some words for you. I got some encouragement for you. Once you take that one little step, I'll help you along the way. But as long as you want to sit at home and you want to talk about other people on Facebook, and Benny, here's the funny thing. One of them was in the barber society group. One was in the barber society group, and reached out to me. I was like, "Bro, you're not even licensed."
Listen to this. We had a barber battle this weekend, and the young man that won wasn't even licensed. Tell me how that happened.
Man, shut up. Are you serious, Ned?
No, stop.
You lying.
Listen, and the lady who ran it, she's been doing it for the last few years. The lady who ran is a licensed beautician who owns a very successful shop. How did you let that man sneak in and take the number one spot, and he's not even officially a barber?
So he's
not even one of your four categories. So he's not even a restricted barber, or what you say, a barber.
No license. Everybody else on the panel, licensed barbers working in barbershops. How you let that happen?
So that tells me their registration process right there. They didn't require the people.
Registration. All it required was the money down payment.
You know what? I'm gonna take it to what Nat said. But look, how about the licensed barbers that's taking bootleg barber money though? What's up with that? You know.
Say it again now.
Like you said, don't let your clients treat you like you're a bootleg barber, right? But you have licensed barbers taking bootleg barber money.
They're not gonna be around long, bro. Cats like that, they're not gonna last trying to do $6
I know
haircut.
That. You know that.
Nah,
know that
get, that's
so
not going to last.
Somebody didn't get in the memo.
Nah, that's not going to last at all.
That's not going to last.
Nah, because it's a shop down the street from us, two blocks, and they try to undercut us as a whole, the town I'm in. We went to every barbershop, and ain't but three black barbershops. Look, we all going up on prices on this date. You know what I'm saying? We all going to go up, so the whole little town will know that every barbershop went up. When we went up on prices, the barbershop down the street ran us in the ground. I was like, nah, we got $5 cuts on Tuesday. How you making money off of $5 cuts on a Tuesday?
Wow.
And then they
well,
run.
Hey,
and I mean, it's sad
goes.
To the point.
You
know, y'all
say,
take
we
this out.
We $5 cuts.
Yeah,
see,
it's sad to the point,
y'all.
I mean,
y'all see what happens is barbers, like, you know, I know Nat and Boss Man and Benny. I know them, you know, personally. I know we're not going to devalue ourselves. If you sit in my chair, you're not getting out of my chair with at least dropping me $15.
Mm-hmm.
At least on the minimum. So if
and the
you
thing
find
is,
another barber,
you have to
you find
train.
Another barber that's doing it for five
hours.
They don't. They
and
don't
what's the state? What's the
they
state barber like in yeah. your state?
Say what now?
They don't, you know,
I mean, who's the Who checks for the licenses out where you guys are at? Like who's the state board out there? I mean, do you get visited by them?
Yeah,
in North Carolina or Florida?
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina.
See, I'm out in Chicago. I'm out in Chicago, and I ain't seen an inspector in at least 4 years.
Wow. Y'all need to call them.
I'm in Cincinnati. I haven't seen mine in probably 2.5.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And you know what?
That's
the funny thing.
I see shop after shop opening up, and it's a... They just put whoever they want to fill their chair up in there. There's kids in high school cutting, and I mean, nobody's really enforcing nothing. You know what I mean?
Well, here in Florida, the thing,
just like Boss Man said, when you see that stuff, when you see them people in them shops that's not licensed, it's our job to report them individuals. It's our job, and when you look at it like this, when you're reporting an unlicensed barber or stylist, it's not the quote-unquote thing that kids got going now, snitching. No, this is protecting our industry and protecting our clients. That's what you got to look at. You're protecting our licenses and protecting our clients. Because you do something bad or you do something incorrectly, dude, you can adversely affect our industry. So it's up to us to patrol what goes on in our industry. So I definitely agree with that. Man, it's crazy. But see, like Regina's here in Ohio. I'm in the process of filing for my cosmetology license. Because here in Ohio, you know, I have a barbershop, but if I have one stylist in my shop, I've got to have a cosmetology license also. So, and I ask them, once I turn in this license, what's the turnaround time for y'all to come and set my shop so I can practice, you know, use my cosmetology license. I can get a stylist in it. Basically, I was told as soon as I turn my application in, I'm approved because nobody might not get to my shop for a year.
Wow.
I said, huh?
Well, see, here in Florida, and I'm sure it's like this in every state should have a barber's board. We have our barber's board here in Florida is two actual just like customers, two regular people, and five barbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the way that you make an impact. Number one, you know, you need to go online and look. Every barber's board is supposed to meet like 3 to 4 times a year in different cities in that state. So y'all can go ahead and, you know, if it's something going on in y'all city that y'all don't approve of, you know, get a few people lined up and go to these barber boards. I mean, that's what they're there for.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
It, you know, and if you feel up to it, you know, go ahead and apply for the position. You, all you got
to
do is attend these meetings, and then you have that voice. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
You have that
all
voice to
do.
Say, listen, you know, this is what we need to do, and those, you know, meetings turn into laws, and that's how it works. So that's what I would suggest, especially Houston. Y'all got the Koreans chopping. Man, that's crazy. I mean, I would
that
try
is,
to.
I never even thought about that, but that is crazy.
Right.
You got unlicensed people in the spot doing hair right in front of everybody. Like we
and
just
the crazy thing is, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but y'all know that the Koreans is trying to take over. I don't know if y'all heard the news yet, but Bronner Brothers is actually trying to sell the whole Bronner Brothers show to a group of Chinese people and Koreans. So
Wow. Y'all
know that's going to take the whole image of everything. And if y'all been going the last few years, it's been more and more Korean booths with these hair and, you know, these little booths coming. So it's starting to fade out, just like, you know. And I have nothing against a business owner and somebody trying to come up. By all means, you know, the Koreans do it best. And I don't know if y'all have it like this in any other place, but here in Florida, the Iraqis, and they taking over corner stores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got a lot.
I mean, the Arab here, the corner store by my house, he owned 18 stores in the Tampa Bay area, 18 of them. So,
yeah.
You know, that's how it starts. And they all get together and they get their money together and then,
and
bam, here they go.
Hey, yo, I'm going to give y'all a little tip. And for my man with the beauty supply store, I'm sure he has this book.
I want to share some with y'all.
If you have a tax ID number for your business, contact a company called PK International. PK International is I've got the book. It's like the Bible for beauty supply, barber beauty supply places. It's big like your big yellow page.
Oh, yeah.
Long book. And right there is everything that they have in the barber and beauty supply spot. You get hold to that book, you can order directly from them. You never have to go into a barber beauty supply store again. So, that's the way
people get around.
I think PK International.
Yeah, they ship that wholesale and all that.
Yes, that's the only thing. They are owned by Koreans. Yes, when you call the number, when you set up your account, you will be talking to a Korean. But
I don't think we're going to be able to get away from that.
Because
we're not going to be able to get away from them doing it, but just so you can
avoid from patronizing those people
patronizing the store owners like they got down in Houston where they blatantly disrespecting our industry and our faith, like around here. I haven't gone into a barber beauty supply store in years because I order mine straight from the place that they get it from. So when I go in the store and they want to charge me $25 for this and I know it only costs $8.50, dude, you trying to get
it. Oh, okay. So you getting it at
No, brother. I said, dude, I got the same PK International book, and when I say that to them, their eyes open up. You got what? Yeah, I got the same book you got. So can I get that $8.50, or do I just got to order it from now on in?
Wow.
Go on in and let them know you got the same thing they got. You could they change up. Like, oh yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Come on, and I'm gonna use this for an example. and this Masters. What are they? 109, 120 in the store?
67.
In the PK International book, they 64.99.
Oh, they 64 now?
They 64.99.
Yeah, it was
wow.
67. That's crazy.
That's
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I've been getting the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's PK International.
Well,
well, I'm telling you,
we got one of their warehouses out here in Chicago. So
yeah,
I mean, you don't need no tax ID number to walk up in there. You don't need no tax ID number or nothing. Any stylist or anybody walk up in there.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah,
I know
exactly
where that's at.
Well, I'm coming out to Chicago to visit you, young place, boy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm coming to Chicago to see you, man, so I ain't got to pay no shipping and handling, man. I can walk straight up in the spot.
For real.
Yeah, but
forget going to the Bonner Brothers. We're going to Chicago.
Okay.
these are the type of information that we need to pass along to where we can start using our money the way we want to use it. Now, like my man got the beauty supply down there in Houston. Now, if you get that PK International over there in North Carolina, you can open some up in your spot. Because you have the same tool that they have. You may not have the enormous buying power that they have, but you can place your order for a dozen of these and a dozen of brushes and a dozen of wave caps and clippers and oil sheens and all of that.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to find no celebrity black in there, though.
But...
Oh,
hey, hey, Benny. Or you're not gonna find no cool cuts in there. You're not gonna find no cool cuts either. But some things. And here's the funny thing. Stuff like me with my watch. I use the Talia YG stuff. Talia YG is in the book right now. Kitty.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
in
I
the
use
book
on my
right day. Now. Some of these things are actually in their books where. You can buy that stuff right there. Like, wow, for real? Y'all got this in the book? Okay, I need to get there.
That's another problem, too. How do these Koreans get the professional products in their stores?
Right. Because they have the buying power.
They got the buying power.
They got somebody to sneak in there and get it.
Y'all want to
hear this?
Because they have the buying power to be able to go to Angus Wall, Oscar, Organic Roots, Motion, Soft Sheen, Bond Brothers, you know, whoever, they have that buying power. I need.
And y'all know, we know money talks.
Yeah, well,
I don't just need a dozen. I need 20,000 of those. Can you get me 20,000 and I want this price? And that's what they do.
Yeah, I'm talking about the stores here.
By the time
here,
we finish
like,
making our own products, though, by the time we finish making our own products and getting things together, because I mean, the brother with Premier Clipper, I mean he coming out with a monster thing. So I mean, with you with the Cool Touch, with some other brothers that's really doing their own products, that'll really like set up that'll change the game. It's the game changer.
Yeah,
it should take some of the power away if we can get more barbers, more stylists, more of us to get in there and really put some work and come up with some new ideas. That'll change the game because we can take some of that power they have away from.
Exactly. See, but here's the thing. You and the Beauty Supply stores just order from like the PK International people. So unless you're able to get your product to PK International where they can send out those mass mailings and things like that, the smaller Barbie Beauty Supply, even though they may be Korean or whatever, they're not going to order from you. I'm not able to walk into a Korean beauty supply store and say, I've got a Cool Touch, and here's my numbers, here's this, here's my MSDSC, everything. Unless I'm able to go to the place where they get it from. We buy this from such and such. We buy this from such and such. A perfect example, Prestige Magazine. I've been in Prestige magazine a couple times. And so I had, you know, I had a nice amount of Prestige magazine. So I went to the beauty supply store where I go, like, bruh, I got these magazines right here. I got the last three issues. You know, I'm trying to get them in the store. What can we do? Man, I ordered all my magazines from such and such. This is the only place I ordered all my magazines. I come in the next week. He got the same three magazines that I just had in my hand. He was going to get them from the same price for me that he got them from the other place, but just because he did his order from there, he wouldn't get them from me. Like, wow.
We just don't have to stick with each other and, you know,
and support each other. And this was the funny thing. Even though I've been dealing with them for years, he was like, yeah, you're my man, this, that, and the other. I see you in the magazine. I see you doing your thing in here, but I got to buy some such and such. I'm like, wow. That showed me a whole lot right there.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I come here and spend all this money with you all this time. You let me put cards and flyers and everything in your stock, but then you won't just purchase these magazines that I know it's going
to
help.
Yeah, because he needed you to get the business so that you could spend the money in his shop.
Try your American Beauty Supply, man. Try y'all American Beauty Supply.
Yeah, man. It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy.
Man.
But
it's sad to hear that the Bonner Brothers may be selling out.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, that's something
that's terrible.
That's been last year. I know. I talked to the lady, and she told me that there was an offer on the table, and that they were, you know, they were trying to negotiate. And that was before, like, just February. So, I mean, you can even Google it and look. And, I mean, everything as far as, you know, stuff like that is going to be on paper somewhere. So, you know, I'm a huge Googler. I Google everything. So when I heard about
that
it,
don't happen.
I mean, it's already kind of happening. If you look at it, like I said, you know, they in there. And they running, they getting them boots and they locking it down. As far as even a majority as far as hair is concerned, that weave, I mean, they killing it. I mean, they coming in there with thousands and thousands of boxes of weave and just, I mean, you know, like I say, they get together and they put their money together, which is the only flaw, and I hate to say it, that we as blacks do not like to do. We hate going in with somebody.
We were conditioned a long time ago not to trust and not to
believe. It's like, you know, the Mexicans do it, the Arabs.
A bucket mentality. Yep,
the Arabs do it, the Mexicans do it. The Mexicans, man, I got Mexicans living in this house all the way down the street. It's eight of them in a two-bedroom apartment. They killing it. Sending all their money on Friday.
It's 15 across the street from the barbershop on the corner.
They got one car. They go to the same job, share their room and board. It's two couples. So I asked her, I was like, well, how y'all do the bedroom thing? She said, we switch on and off. And everybody else sleep in the living room or wherever else they find room. You know, they share groceries, share gas.
Everything.
I mean, that's the way that, you know, their cultures was raised. And it's sad to say, but that's why we ended up with everything's being taken away from us. And, you know, we do have a few people out there like Chavez. You know, everybody's coming out with their own product.
Well,
I know.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've seen, like, a lot of Mexican families and whatnot. You know, they come out here from their country, you know, and they all share a household. They split the rent, and they build up, you know, afterwards. You know, they're proud to say they own their homes. Their kids are off to college, and, you know, they end up staying out here. And, you know, I mean, it's all prosperity. I don't feel like that takes away from our industry so much, you know, but
it don't take away from the industry. I was just trying to make the point. I'm just saying as far as cultures that come together, you know, and I'm not going to lie, you know, and I don't know where it comes from. I'm a giver. I love to share, but I cannot share a space. I can't do it. I don't know what it is. You know, even if it was the mentality of me being able to
stay. Yeah, but you gotta understand that these people, when they come from their country and whatnot, they come from dirt floors, you know.
Exactly, but
and
still,
they come
knowing,
over here
no.
for them to share an apartment and even to have a floor to sleep on, that ain't no thing
they
to them. They'll
it.
Sacrifice
exactly.
that until they build.
That's what
home,
I'm saying.
You know?
But hey, I'm not no different. I grew up in the projects. It was 9 of us in a 2-bedroom. What happened to me where I feel like I deserve my own freaking 5-bedroom house with my, you know, my kids, and I need a office? And come on, where does that come from? You know, it's, I'm embarrassed
that,
to say
that
it.
Value
but
is our value system, our pride.
You know what happened?
Why can't I get me three
roommates, and you know, we all the kids come together and we just share. You know, we split the rent three ways and the bills. And
yeah,
I will be
either.
Living lovely. I will be living lovely.
I don't think that's bad that you have your house and nothing's wrong with that. That's their culture.
Not.
That's what they do.
Right, but
that's
again, you know,
do.
I mean, look what
like,
some of us came from. I know, you know, single family, you know, single raised by a mom, you know, everybody has a different story, but we all, and especially our age group, I mean, we all ain't come up with, you know, the nice house and, you know, you don't share the bedroom and a bunk bed for a few years. I know for a fact that that's how it went. So, you know,
yeah,
I look at myself and think, like, dang, where you get the audacity all of a sudden, you got to have a king-size bed and da-da-da-da. You know, it's nice living nice, but I hate, I just hate the fact that, you know, we cannot come together the way these other cultures do, and I hate it. I really do, and I'm to blame myself. I am.
Yeah,
I say more
supportively
that the house thing, that's just too much, 5 people in 2 bedrooms.
Well,
right, the whole setup.
We can come together, just not to that extreme. That's a major extreme to go to come together. I mean, if we could come together in a business mind, in a business sense, that's one thing. But as far as sharing a family unit, I'm with you, Nat. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I mean, I couldn't do it.
But see, that's the thing. Like, why we can't make a plan?
Yeah,
why couldn't
but
we?
I mean,
listen, if my homegirl, you know, didn't have a place, okay, and again, this is embarrassing, but hey, I'm putting myself out there. If my homegirl didn't have a place, and you know, she needed a place to stay, she's got 2 kids. Now my kids are older, and I'm gonna say, let's say she's got kids that are maybe, you know, 5 and 6. You know, that nerve-wracking age where, you know, after 2 days, I'm going to be ready to put her out as bad as I want her to stay.
Right.
Could you do it if it wasn't your friend, if it was your sister or
still,
your aunt or something? Could you do it then?
Why I got my shit together
family,
and you don't?
That's your blood.
I know, and that's the thing. Now,
it could be.
It's crazy. It's crazy, and I hate it. If it was my blood, I might be able to overlook it for another week. But eventually, But eventually, I'm gonna get this attitude about myself.
There you go. You said I might be able. To.
Yeah, I'm telling the truth. I'm being honest.
I know,
and I'm embarrassed about
and
it because I don't
like
know
that.
Where that comes from. I don't know where it comes from because I haven't always been like I haven't always been raised like that. But if I could get a homegirl to say, "Hey, man, come and move with me. We're gonna share the rent. Let's do this for 1 year. Let's make a plan. We're gonna save, you know, $40,000 over this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we do that? And open a business.
Know who you can live with.
I mean,
you know who you can't live with. Like,
no,
you know your family member, you know your friend.
Man, I think we're just too picky. I really do. And I hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, you like, she don't clean up. She dirty.
Right,
like,
exactly. You know, you look
me,
for every little thing.
She go out
and
leave me with her kids. It'll be something.
Right. Next thing you know, you don't even want to come home no more. You like, oh, Lord, this she doesn't.
But those are, those are people problems. Those are people problems in general.
Right.
Yeah, man. Hey, y'all. Y'all, hey, we've come to the end of the show. If y'all look at this, man, We was only supposed to be on the line from 10 to 11.
Hey, man, that's what happened when you got a live show talking about bootleggers.
hey, but that's what we do right here at the bar. So we don't talk about it until we can't talk about it no more. I appreciate everybody that came on the show. Y'all still live with your man Chavez Moment, but we about to wrap this up, y'all. Make sure y'all check us out. We'll be back on Monday. I had some few scheduling issues. I had some meetings that I had to go through on yesterday, so we moved it to Tuesday. But we'll be back next Monday, 9 p.m. Next week, we talking about retail. Y'all know we've been here talking about beauty supplies and all of that, but we're going to be talking about retail in the shop. Is it a burden or is it a benefit? Don't go into it now, y'all. But just think about that for next week. Having retail in your shop, is that a burden or is that a benefit?
Mm.
So for everybody that was on the show tonight, I want to say thank you. Barber Love with the trademark on it, if y'all was at the Barber Roundtable.
Okay.
Barber Love
putting
with
that TM behind
on it. So, y'all, this was Chavez. Y'all was in the zone with this man Chavez Moment. Y'all know the number was 347-637-3850. Be sure y'all check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Hit the BarberZone website, which is barberzone.org. And check us out on the barberzone.clothing website also. So, y'all, until Monday, I want to say, y'all, be better in your shop. Be better to your clients. And God will be better to you. So, y'all, next week, it's on Monday. But until then, Barber Love, come get your hair right at the Barber Zone. I'm going to let my man Cool Ray take us out with the good old, you know, who cut you. This one of the Barber Zone anthems. But, y'all, till next week.
Gotcha. We separate ourselves from their mother. Barbers think they sweet in these CO streets. Come on, suckers. Man, your razor game's weak. I shouldn't see blood trickling down his cheek. 3719 South High Street. Come get your head right. These barbers are trying to eat. Just ask the cop when you call the shop. We get all the kids fresh, even mom and pop. How much they charge for that cut? A quarter, man, your barber better off with Mickey D's taking orders. Old school, new school, need a cut, yo. No burn, baby, burn, we got that cool touch, bro. Let me tighten up that hawk and shape up the throw. One of the coldest in the hole. In case you didn't know, here we go. Tonsorio artiste in the place. Messing with them butchers, it ain't safe. They'll make your skin taste. Rashes on the masses, bumps from dirty razors. Man, them clients hate ya. Cool Rizzy Blaze head, snuff said. Barber's mad cause they fake game's dead. I got one in the chair, but you next in line. Man, I cut the whole city, I'm out here on my grind. And I'm one of O State's finest. You rewind this, BZ's behind this.